Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
By my co-host Craig. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings and salutations, Edward. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. After being blind for 4 days, I can finally see. And we have our other co-host on the line, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Nothing. Why were you blind?
Because I had an eye infection, and I couldn't wear my contacts for a week, and they were the last pair that I had, and I didn't have any glasses. And so since I couldn't wear contacts for a week, I had to make me some glasses that they were supposed to be done by the morning, and it took them 3 days to get them fixed, so I can finally see.
I thought you might have been playing with yourself or something. You went blind.
Well, I do, but that doesn't cause blindness. That's just a myth.
That's what they say. It's just a saying.
Right, Craig?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's married.
I don't need glasses.
Well, he probably does. He's married. He probably does it more than us, so.
But anyway, it's all good now. I can see. It took me, since I was blind for 4 days, it took me it took me an hour to adjust, turn my head. I'd get dizzy because my eyes were, had to get used to being able to see again. It was weird, but it's all good. But we haven't been on for a week, and Craig hasn't been on for quite a while. What's going on, Craig?
Oh, you know, just working hard. Been working crazy hours ever since I got back from vacation. And before, for that matter. But, things are good.
Cool. And you, Katrina, what have you been up to?
Nothing.
Yeah, that sounds about
nothing
right.
Nothing that concerns anybody here or any of the five people listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, since I guess Couture's probably going to end up being kind of quiet, if you want to ask any non-women's wrestling questions, we'll let you ask them first, Couture, or else I know you're going to be kind of quiet for this interview. But I am going to start to call Dave right now, so you guys talk amongst yourselves and try not to bore the five people listening to the show.
Well, if we don't bore them, then you'll just interrupt us anyway, so there's no point.
That's true.
Well, I'm not going to sit here with a guest waiting for you guys to finish talking about Survivor or whatever you're talking about.
Survivor? What the fuck was that?
I don't know, but you guys used to talk about that shit all the time.
I don't know. I didn't know that show was still even on.
Really?
I think it is. But I will be back.
Okay.
So have you been watching Survivor?
Do what now?
Have you been watching Survivor?
No, I haven't watched Survivor, and I don't... Maybe 5 or 6 years.
Oh, okay. That's good this year.
Are they still on the island? Have they haven't got rescued yet?
They have not gotten rescued
yet. That's Lost. I'm sorry. That show ended a while ago. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness. See the new Star Wars trailer?
The new what?
The new Star Wars trailer.
No, I haven't, actually. I'm going to have to go look at that right now.
Yeah, I would stop, quit listening to the show and go do that immediately. It'll make you feel like a young child again.
I've been watching Daredevil. It's awesome.
Yeah, I need to get into that. Like I said, I've been stupid busy lately. So, but that's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, sorry to interrupt you guys, but Craig, can you introduce our guest, please?
You know, there's only a few men in this world that I would put my arm around and get cozy with, but our guest tonight is one of them. Oh, yeah, and he's also the mastermind behind Shimmer Wrestling. Please welcome to the show Mr. Dave Prazak.
Hey, what happens on the airport shuttle stays on the airport shuttle.
Too late for that, Dave. He's told everybody about that.
But yeah, I am. Hopefully, I can speak properly during the course of this because I am in the midst of the shimfluenza. Pretty much everybody gets sick after these Shimmer weekends because you take about 300 people, put them in a small area for three straight days, and all it takes is one person to be sick, and everyone gets sick. So, yeah.
Who do you think is patient zero? One of the wrestlers or one of the fans?
Who knows? I would think one of the fans. Who knows?
I think Shazza McKenzie said she was sick before she got there, so it might be Shazza McKenzie.
Maybe she's to blame for all of this, but it happens every time, without fail.
So I'm going to get sick in October? Should I get, like, vaccinations?
It's a great selling point, isn't it? Come to our shows and you'll be sick for days. So.
Right? I'm going to have to get, like, vaccinated before I go in October.
Yes.
Well, Katrina, since you're not going to be on too much on the interview, if you have any non-women's wrestling questions, I suggest you ask them now.
I'm just looking up the Star Wars trailer Craig told me about. I don't have time for this. There's a Star Wars trailer out.
Okay, we'll go back to your Star Wars trailer. Craig, I will let you start the interview.
Well, before we get started, just to enlighten everyone, as I was leaving WrestleMania weekend, I had packed my bags early on Monday morning and was finding my way to the lobby of the hotel and passed the shuttle driver, and he said, yeah, I got room. And the shuttle door was open, and I look in there and Prazak, and sure enough, it was. And
but it wasn't
me.
It was a van that was already filled with about six other people, so there wasn't much room to add anybody.
So I figure the guy's going to put me in the front seat and move the bag to the back seat. Oh no, he grabbed my stuff and piled it on in the front seat. And here, please get cozy with this other passenger. So. One in Rome, arm around Dave, snuggled in tight, selfie time happened. First selfie I think I've ever taken. Actually,
it's
I didn't
on
take
Twitter.
It, so yes. So I shared a cozy ride to the airport with Mr. Prazak, which brings me to my first question. How was your WrestleMania weekend, Dave?
It was pretty good. I got in, I mean, once I actually got there, because I had some flight issues getting there from Chicago, I had a connection, and I missed the connection, and then it was delayed. And by the time I got to San Jose, my bags did not.
Okay.
All right, everybody, I'm sorry about that. I'm pretty sure I jinxed myself because I warned Dave and we got disconnected to give me a couple minutes and I called back and first thing that happened, typical. But I will, let me put Craig on the air here. Shit.
Are you there, Ed?
Mm-hmm. Craig?
Yes, sir.
Is something happening?
Where? What's happening? Oh, nothing but the best for this program, you know?
You know what? I think that was my fault.
Oh, it was.
I was trying to move myself, and I think I knocked everybody off the line.
Well, there you go. You just had to watch
guys.
The Star Wars trailer.
Fucking phone is going crazy on me, but let me try this shit again. If I can get Stevie to edit it or something.
It's very unprofessional.
I'm sorry
about that. I'm a very unprofessional person.
Finally, he admits it. Oh, for crying out loud, this show. You know, this doesn't happen on the Brian and Vinny and Craig show.
Because it isn't live.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't happen. Oh, for crying out loud. This show is
I tried to mute myself, but I think I knocked everybody off the line. I don't know how that happened. I'm just not going to touch anything. I'm sorry.
There you go. There you go. Just don't touch nothing. Oh, goodness. If it's not one thing, it's four
still
or
make
five.
It feel like it's his fault, though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well,
you're okay playing for it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You probably forgot the number. We're live, everybody.
Yes.
Hi. How's it going? How are you people? How are you? Hit me up on Twitter.
They probably hung up by now, too.
Hit me up on Twitter and let me know if you're listening to this abortion. Oh, nothing but the best for our guests.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you find the trailer?
No, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, we are back with Dave Prazak. Dave, you were in the middle of telling your story about getting to WrestleMania kind of late.
I'll cut to the chase. My flight was delayed. I got there, but my bags did not make it, and my bags had several wrestlers' gear in them as well, including Shimmer champion Nicole Matthews.
Oops.
Which
is that why she had those funky shoes on?
Which is why she ended up wrestling in Portia Perez's gear on the show the next day, because my bags did not arrive in San Jose until after bell time. So I was wearing the same clothes that I did the previous day as the show was taking place. She didn't have her gear. Luckily, the belts and my cameras were in my carry-on bags. But, yeah, after that, though, it was a good weekend.
That's kind of funny because we were wondering why she had such funky ass wrestling boots on during the show.
Probably, I would assume she just borrowed somebody's wrestling shoes, and then she had Porsche's like Taka Michinoku looking fucking tights that end right after your. Yeah.
Now, yeah. When I was in the shuttle with you, you hadn't actually watched Mania yet. Have you gotten a chance to see that?
No, I saw the angle at the or the title change at the end. I saw the finish of Mania, and I saw a video of the Ronda Rousey, Rock, Stephanie McMahon, Triple H thing. But other than that, I have not seen the show yet. But I've everybody has said it was great. So one of these days,
really
I'll get around to it. Yeah.
When you really think about it, the entrances were like some of the best parts, like Triple H going on Terminator and Rusev riding a tank. I mean, can't ask more than Rusev and tank. That was awesome.
Yeah. Several of the Shimmer women were actually booked as extras at Mania, but were not used on the show. But, hey, they were paid to be there.
Exactly.
I'm just trying to figure out what they maybe had in mind. I was thinking potentially, I mean, who knows, this could be way off base, but potentially if Ronda Rousey was, because what do they usually do with extras with random indie people when they're at Raw in a certain city? They book random indie people to be fake security guards or whatever. So my thought was female security guards get bumped by Ronda Rousey on her way over the barricade, but that didn't happen. So would have been pretty fucking cool, though.
Yeah, that would have been pretty awesome. I remember talking to you last year, and you're kind of, you seem to be a little stressed out over the Mania Weekend show. How were you as far as stress-wise going into this show? Were you worried about attendance? Were you worried about anything going wrong? What was going through your mind? Were you pretty confident or used to it
right now? I'm used to it at this point. Because the attendance was a little bit better than we had in New Orleans, but obviously not as great as we had in New Jersey. Just because New Jersey and New York is a big independent wrestling hotbed, Louisiana isn't, and Northern California really isn't. But, you know, we did, between the live attendance and the iPay-per-views, the show made money in the end. So I was pretty happy with that. Obviously, we would love to have a little bit bigger crowd, but we did what we could. And, you know, because we knew that we were only going to have like 250 people or whatever, we budgeted the show so that we only had 14 wrestlers on it, and we did the tournament. So just in case it didn't do too well, we didn't have to trans fucking 20 wrestlers into California. Like nobody other than cheerleader Melissa was driving distance. Like Candice LeRae lives on the other side of the country now, so like everybody had to be trans. And Nicole Savoy. Nicole Savoy and Melissa were the only two locals.
Yeah. Speaking of the crowd, were you annoyed by that one asshole who was running around with a Leva face mask and t-shirt protesting?
I did not notice. Actually, did it make it on camera? You have any idea?
Oh yeah, I did buy it and watch it because I had to see the Mia Yim match again. But yes, I'm all over the
I'll have to take another look. Well, I'll be taking another look as we do the revised edit for DVD of the show, and I'll be sure to edit all of that out.
The only thing that was disappointed me is they cut the camera right when Mia Yim popped when she saw me, and they didn't catch that.
Well, maybe we can revise that on the DVD.
But as far as the tournament, how did you feel the matches went? I myself, I think, as far as wrestling-wise, I think that was actually the best show that I went to, and that's over ROH and NXT. And WrestleMania was a better show, more entertaining show overall, but like I say, as far as work rate, I thought the Shimmer show was off the hook. I got to say, the Mia Yim Athena match, it won't be in the consideration, but it should be in the consideration for match of the year because, goddamn, they fucking tore it up.
And not enough people see it, unfortunately, for it to really be in contention for anything. It was a great match if only everybody saw it. If it was on a national televised television show, then maybe. But yeah, it's indie wrestling, and no indie show is ever gonna get match of the year. So. But overall, I was relatively happy with the show. There were aspects of it that I didn't like, and a lot of that comes down to because I was doing commentary, sitting in front of the microphone on the other side of the building, I wasn't running the show and had to rely on other people to carry out those duties for me. And so there were certain segments that did not come across the way that it was intended, and it was probably just due to poor communication in terms of relaying what ideas were behind the segments. And anyone who saw the show could probably figure out exactly what that stuff was.
Yeah,
overall, I was like 90% of the show I was very happy with. I mean, the design of the tournament was to highlight like the newer, younger crew of talent that are all on the rise right now and to elevate them to become like what Daisy Hayes and Sarah Del Rey and Mischief and Mercedes Martinez, et cetera, were to women's wrestling and to Shimmer in like the late, like from 2005 to 2011 or something like that. To like, they're now being slowly replaced, not replaced, but I mean, a lot of them are retiring and everything. But you know, people like Mia Yim and Athena and Evie and Kaylee Ray and Nikki Storm, you know, that's the group that everybody needs to have their eyes on right now in 2015. So the show was kind of, it wasn't meant to be like a Young Lions Cup, but that was sort of what we were going for in one tournament and one show to elevate the young girls and to have two of the young girls taking on the only remaining original from the first show, cheerleader Melissa, in the finals. So in that respect, I think that all the young girls did well in their matches to accomplish that goal.
Now, how much thought went into the process of picking Kaylee Ray and Evie to be the two that really got showcased, that they were the two that made it to the finals and had they both had three great matches? You know, how much thought did you pick into picking who was going to go to the finals?
Well, that was they had a match against each other at our previous set of tapings. I guess it would have been October. It's on Shimmer 67, which is released in about 2 weeks. So nobody's seen it yet, but they will soon. But that was just an amazing match. It was in front of the Burwood Eagles Club crowd that already knew them very well and got, like, a standing ovation at the end of it. So, like, that match made a huge impression on me, and I'm like, that match should be closing a show. That match should be the main event, you know, of something. So that put the idea in my mind. But then, you know, we do the same thing in front of a different crowd in California, and didn't quite, you know, it didn't go exactly the same way because, you know, they're not too familiar with either of them. I'd be surprised if more than 50 people in the crowd had seen Evie or Kaylee Ray live before, or maybe even on DVD before. Maybe they just bought a ticket because they want to go to the women's show. I don't know. So it was difficult for them to really establish themselves with a new audience, I think. But, I mean, in the end, they pulled it off because during, like, that final minute or two of the match, during all the big false finishes, they had the crowd. So it went well. You know, those are two fantastic wrestlers with tons of potential.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw Evie was the New York show, where she was just like a five or six woman match and really didn't get showcased. And then the next year she had the match of the show against Cheetah.
Yeah.
And then she's just in the past 2 years that girl has improved so much. I mean, it's just amazing, and I'm hoping she becomes a mainstay for years because she's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, she was just, you know, she's from New Zealand and someone who Madison Eagles put in the word for, and, you know, just eager to expand throughout the wrestling world. She went on a tour of Japan last year, probably going to be going back there soon. So she's, you know, there's a whole new crop of girls, like the ones that I mentioned, but, you know, Heidi Lovelace, too, who wasn't on the show but would have been in the tournament if she wasn't in Japan for Stardom for 3 months. Like, she got back from that Japan tour 3 days after WrestleMania weekend. So Heidi would have been another one. She's fantastic. There's probably a list of, like, eight to ten girls right now that are, like, only wrestling for about 3 or 4 years and all that, like, have tons of potential and are all determined to get somewhere. So
do you feel the future is very comfortable in their hands to, since, like you said, everyone else is retiring or, you know,
yeah,
slowly going
away? I mean,
away?
It's, they're claiming their spots all over the place, and they know that there's a variety of different places that they could be making money in wrestling right now. It's not just WWE, but it helps that Sarah Del Rey is there. But, you know, WWE is an option. TNA is an option. Not much of an option, but it's there.
Not for long.
You know, there's Lucha Underground. There's going to do Japan tours. There's, you know, there's lots of different places that that they can get work. And there's more women's promotions all over the place now, too. So, you know, the top girls in 2015 are getting a lot more ring time in a variety of different places to learn, much more so than they were 8 to 10 years ago, you know.
And one last question about the Mania show is, you're talking about certain miscues or whatever. I know exactly what you're talking about. When that was happening and you're doing commentary, how hard is it to continue to do commentary when I'm sure you're freaking out, like, oh, my God.
Yeah. was it that obvious on the when you watched it back?
I actually haven't seen that one. That's the one, like, one of the few that I haven't seen back yet. I really should have watched it before.
But, I mean, we had to deal with the way things went, and so it came down to, it was a deal where, you know, Cheerleader Melissa and Jessica Havoc started a feud in San Jose where Havoc was screwed out of the first round of the tournament by Melissa using the ropes for leverage. Referee didn't catch it. So then later in the show, Havoc comes out to try to do some damage to Melissa after the referee was knocked down, and referee came to and saw that she was in the ring, and that caused a DQ, which eliminated Mia Yim from the tournament and caused Melissa to go to the finals. And then she, you know, distracted Melissa enough during the finals for Melissa to be the first one eliminated. So it was all to set up a rematch in Berwyn 2 weeks later between the two. I mean, it did set that up, but it could have gone a little bit better. And again, I hate the idea of doing live commentary. It's good to have the iPay-per-view money that comes in to help pay for the show, but I'd rather be in the back running the show, making sure things go the way they're supposed to. But in the end, it all worked out because they had their rematch last weekend in Berwyn, and it was infinitely better than what they did on the iPay-per-view. So, you know, they made up for the way that all of that went down in California.
I will say that you and Vita were actually awesome on commentary. I was actually very surprised by Vita. She was like,
she's really
on
good.
Everything.
Yeah. She and Portia Perez are both really good. I think that either of them, it would not surprise me one bit to see either of them get a job somewhere doing nothing but talking, whether it be like a Renee Young interviewer type or a commentator type, or just a, you know, a valet slash manager that does a lot of interviews or whatever. I guess they don't really have those these days, but you know, both of them are excellent on the mic.
Mm. Go ahead, Craig.
I'll be honest with you, Dave, and you know this, not a huge fan of the women's wrestling, but one of the guys I went to junior high and high school with is, his name is Charles Short.
Yes.
He's a heck of a man. And
he was at the
yes. And he has said
I'm sure he was hoping that I booked Akira Hokuto, but she couldn't get away from Tulalip. So.
Zane. That's
had to get that in.
He has sent some questions, and before I get to his questions, one of his questions was, what are your thoughts on some of your new talent, Candice LeRae, Tessa Blanchard, and Nicole Savoy? Now, I will say this. Candice LeRae is the greatest babyface woman I have seen in years. And she is awesome.
You know, blue pants.
And Tessa, I saw both these girls work at the WrestleCon show.
Right.
Tessa, very pretty, a little green still, but what are your
very
thoughts
green.
On these three women?
There are three more to add to that list, although Candice has been wrestling for like 12 years, so it's kind of hard
right.
to say that she's one of the young crew, but she's new to Shimmer anyway, because her debut was in New Orleans last year. But yeah, all three of those women are people that we could work into the mix with all the ones that I mentioned earlier as the young crew. You know, you could pretty much take any combination of those 10 girls and have them work each other, and you're going to get good matches because all of them are very good. Nicole Savoy was she's from Sacramento, and had only been wrestling throughout like California. Maybe occasionally she'd travel like 100 miles away or something, but hadn't really done anything outside of that area until we brought her in October for the Shimmer tapings, and did very well, great heel. So we brought her back and highlighted her as best we could on the California show. She wrestled a bunch of the Japanese girls on the shows last weekend in Berwyn and tore it up. Like, she had never worked anyone with a language barrier before, but, you know, passed with flying colors. So Nicole Savoy, she was relative unknown until about October of last year to most of the wrestling fans outside of California.
I had heard a lot of like great, great reviews about her from that October shows, and she came to Texas not too long ago, and I was really excited. And unfortunately, she did not have a good night.
Right.
And I came across very disappointed, I guess because it was overhyped, I guess.
Yeah.
But I will say she redeemed herself in my eyes. And
like her and Evie in San Jose was awesome.
Yeah, I that was the second best match of the show. I mean, you know. And
she has a lot.
And her match with Candice, that was also great too. So yeah, she I like I say, I was kind of down on her because of that one match in Inspire, but yeah, she more than made up for it in San Jose. She was awesome.
Well, everyone has an off night.
She
wrestled Mia Yim on the Shimmer tapings last weekend too, and they did very well too. So like she's someone that we could build on, you know, for several years, like as a major player. Tessa Blanchard, she is super green. I think she's been actually wrestling in front of a crowd on shows for less than a year now. That's how green she is. But her promo ability is insane. Like, you watch her talk into a camera, and it's like you're watching Tully. It's fantastic. And that was the main reason why we gave her a shot. I mean, it wasn't based on she's a phenomenal wrestler with 8 months of experience or whatever. It's because she can cut promos, which is better than 95% of the people on the roster. Like, we could find a few women who can cut good promos and put them in feuds and make the most of their ability to speak, then we should do it. And so that's what we did. She's feuded with Athena over the Berwyn tapings and did very well. She's a great heel. I know that I saw the match that you saw at the WrestleCon show. It was Jessica Havoc versus Tessa, and she was babyface in that, it seemed. But she's a great heel, like Southern-style heel. And then that is something different than anything that we've got on our shows. Like, most of the girls are just doing moves and dropping each other on their heads and stuff like that. But she just got good heel heat, ran her mouth to the crowd the entire time, got a great reaction, and cut awesome promos. So Tessa's – we'll use her while we can, because I think that she's going to end up on TV sooner rather than later. You know, Candace has done phenomenal job thus far in everything that we've done with her. But she's busy all the time. Like, she only was available to us on Sunday last weekend because she had a booking with Joey Ryan on the Saturday. So they're getting booked all over the place as a tag team. So,
as they should.
But, you know, Candace is another person. You can plug her in there with anybody, and she's going to have awesome matches.
Yeah, I'd really like to see a program with Tessa and Nikki Storm. Because
that's what everybody keeps saying. Because they both have so much charisma and personality. Yeah.
Oh my God! I mean, she is so, I can't even talk about how awesome she is. I mean, she just has so much natural charisma and knows how to play to the crowd. And
she's another one that's going to be on TV before you know it. I'll predict that. I mean,
there's a lot of rumors about that. So.
Yeah, but I mean, whether it happens now or if it happens in 6 months or happens in a year, she's going to be on TV. Like, anybody with a television show that has her wanting a job is foolish to not at least give her an opportunity to try and fail, even if she fails. But you just have to take one look at her, the way that she carries herself and all that charisma and everything, and you've got to give her a developmental, right? It's like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
House of Hardcore just made a statement yesterday that they were going to be on the Fight Network, which is available on Roku, and live streaming and things like that.
And still in Canada? Regular TV
in
Canada still? Okay.
Yeah. One of Jack's questions here was, what are your thoughts on the last Shimmer Eye pay-per-view chick fight? Was the show successful for you guys? And do you like doing these eye pay-per-views better or worse compared to doing a regular DVD taping?
I was happy with how the show went. Main reason I don't like doing eye pay-per-view is I like having myself and either Portia or Veda Scott as the commentators, rather than just hiring somebody to do commentary. I'd rather do it myself because I know how I want to explain everything. But if I'm doing that and it's a live commentary, live eye pay-per-view, that means I can't be running the show. And then I lose the control to change things on the fly if things need to be changed on the fly. And like, we experimented in Berwyn with some live commentary last year, and the end result was the same conclusion. I'd rather be able to be running the show rather than have to worry about sitting in front of a microphone while the show's going on, and once in a while having somebody tap me on the shoulder asking questions. You know, it's, that's the downside to it. Like, if I didn't have to be the announcer, then, you know, great, let's do iPay-per-views. But I'd rather, I mean, it there's no real reason to do iPay-per-views more than once a year for us anyway, because, you know, we film four DVDs in a weekend, and we'd have to do that formula anyway, even if they weren't just DVDs. Say we wanted to do iPay-per-views, we'd have to do four iPay-per-views in a span of, you know, 48 hours. How do you charge people for four iPay-per-views? Like,
right.
Is it a day-long pass thing? Then they're sitting in front of a computer for 7 hours? Because each
yikes.
DVD is 3 hours long. So it gets complicated in that respect. And it's just we have to do the four tapings over 2 days format because of the travel involved for all these international wrestlers. They can't, like, stick around for a whole month to do several weekends. We got to, you know, cram it all into one weekend so they can get back to their real lives on the other side of the world. So it's sort of, you know, once a year we can do it Mania weekend. It's convenient. WWN already has all their stuff set up. There's already a venue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could do the one per year there and then do DVDs for the rest.
So
in a perfect
world.
Go ahead, Craig.
Thank you. In a perfect world, would it be beneficial for you to run the show in the back and maybe hire a commentator? I mean,
I could,
is there...
but I'd rather not. I'm weird. I'm weird like that. I
so
could,
Dave's
but
a
I'd rather.
Control freak.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
Well, what if like
that.
Jim Ross was available? You'd feel comfortable with Jim Ross calling in.
Yes. As long as he doesn't point out when heels are not being very effective like he did on the Tokyo Dome show. I remember there was, I think it was the Kenny Omega match on the Tokyo Dome show.
Yes.
And, like other members of the Bullet Club were, like, interfering, and he's like, doing this right in front of the referee. I don't get it. Like, don't point it out. You're supposed to cover it up, man. Hide that shit. I don't get it. They're interfering right in front of the ref. He's doing nothing. Throws up his arms and, like, what the fuck? Usually Jim Ross is awesome, but, like, come on.
Well, I'm sure he was put off when he was told he had to put over a guy using arm stubble to rake someone's eye.
It's true.
Yes.
No, speaking of, like, the stuff you have to do backstage, this past taping, you actually added another job, and you actually did some ring announcing. And how was that? Because I know you probably had to be marking out at the time, because I know how big of a All Japan Women's fan you are.
Well, all I did was, the only time I got in the ring was for Nakagawa's last match, which was actually 3G versus the Canadian Ninjas. The big eight-woman tag was on the previous show, and a friend of Nakagawa's, who's a ring announcer from Japan, did the intros for that match with Aja Kong and everybody in it. But on the only reason that I did it, our usual ring announcers have been Joey Eastman and Kevin Harvey, and the fans are all familiar with them, and, like, they have really good, like, communication, joking around in between matches on the mic with the fans. So the fans, like, they know, they feel like they know Kevin and Joey personally, but, like, neither of them could make this set of shows, so I had a replacement ring announcer who there was, like, no personal connection kind of thing. Tomoka didn't know him. So I was like Eastman actually sent me a video of him doing the introductions that we could put on the video screen for her retirement match, which I showed to Nakagawa, and she appreciated the fact that he sent it, but, like, for a retirement match, you're not going to have the ring announcer on a video screen. It's got to be somebody doing it live. So I just figured I'll do that one match, and that's that. That was the first time in fucking 9.5 years that I've ever gotten in the ring on one of the shows, and it's the only time that I'm ever going to. So,
well, going back to the match that I confused it for, what was going through your mind, or how much were you marking out just watching that match with freaking Aja Kong and Mike Kinsuke and...
It's unbelievable, because I was a big tape trader in the mid-90s, and, like, Dream Slam 2 main event, Manami Toyota, Toshio Yamada versus Kansai and Ozaki. And Kansai and Ozaki are a tag team on a fucking Shimmer show in the Eagles Club. So, yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing. Just the fact that Aja Kong was there, like, it's pretty crazy, but, you know, it took Nakagawa retiring to get all of them to come to Berwyn. But at least, you know, we had them on a show.
Charlie,
yeah, you
had
mentioned
a question about that.
Oh, go ahead, Craig.
I'm sorry. Charlie had a question about that. He said, ask about getting Dynamite and Aja to do the show last weekend, a surprise for Nakagawa. He said, the question was, how hard was it to plan that surprise and keep it from Nakagawa?
Very difficult, because it was a legitimate surprise. She didn't know that they were going to be coming at all. Obviously, they're two wrestlers that have been a big part of her career over the years in Japan. So she knew that there was six or seven, other women that were coming over that we advertised. But we kind of did not inform her specifically about which, like, she knew what three of her four matches were. And the fourth match, which we just said it was going to be a big six-woman tag, and I just listed off some fucking people that were already advertised. I'm like, that's what it's going to be. But it actually was an eight-woman tag with them involved. So we'd planned it for months now that it would be to legitimately surprise her. Here's the situation. The main event of the final match of the show on Saturday is going to the ring at 8:45 p.m. Dynamite Kansai and Aja Kong land 5 minutes after the introductions of the main event at O'Hare Airport, which is 25 minutes away from the building.
Oh.
So Nicole Matthews and Jessica Havoc go out to the ring, originally planning to only wrestle for about 20 minutes and had to go about a half hour just to kill time, as they rush Aja Kong and Dynamite Kansai to the Berwyn Eagles Club. After that match is over, as they're like pulling into the parking lot, we send Kelly Skater and Nakagawa into the ring to cut a promo to challenge the Canadian Ninjas for her retirement match the next day. So they go to the ring, they do that. We rush Aja Kong and Dynamite Kansai in the side door of the building. She issues the challenge, the Ninjas music starts playing for about 5 seconds, and then cuts, and then Aja Kong's music starts playing, and she and Dynamite Kansai go to the ring, surprise her, get on the mic, and proceed to start beating the shit out of her. And then the other baby faces make the save, and Kelly Skater makes a big eight-woman tag for the next day. So it came right down to the last, to the last 30 seconds of they walk in the building and music is playing and they need to go straight to the ring. So,
man, you really rolled the dice on that.
I mean, originally the plan was going to be that we would have them do an angle with her at the after party and surprise her at the after party. But as is usually the case with a Shimmer show, the show was running late. And I'm like, well, if we have the opportunity to do it inside the ring, let's just have the main event go 10 minutes longer than we planned and do it in the ring. It's better to do it in the ring in front of the crowd anyway.
Sure.
Otherwise, we would have to do it at the after party, and we'd conveniently have cameras rolling as this takes place at the after party, but mm-hmm. Much better to do it in the ring, so that's what we did. And it all
was
very cool.
I was wondering why you didn't advertise her, because I figured that would have gotten extra people there just because it's who she is.
Yeah, it would. Well, I mean, it was because they wanted it to be a surprise, and I'm just like,
yeah.
All right, whatever. You know, we can only fit 250 people in the building anyway, and we already, like, for that Saturday show, I think we drew 240. So, like, 10 more tickets is all, you know, we couldn't, it wasn't that big of a deal. And we were able to advertise it during, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. And we put a video of the whole thing on YouTube on Saturday, or on Sunday morning, so people could see it. And if they're in the Chicago area, could make it down if they wanted to come to the show at the last minute, so. But we had a full building all weekend, so it all worked out.
That's cool. Now, speaking of the building, you're trying something different for the next show, one of the ones that I'm going to, and you're going to like a building that's what, four times the size?
yeah, it's pretty much the Manhattan Center. It's like a dirtier looking Manhattan Center, but it's the same size. That will be the Saturday anniversary show. Saturday show. In October for the anniversary weekend, and then we'll do the Eagles Club on Sunday.
Now, if it goes well, do you have future plans, or is this just like a special thing for the 10th anniversary?
I mean, if it goes well, like I don't think that we could. I mean, first of all, I don't think we're going to draw 1,400 people, but the place could fit 1,400 people. So, you know, it's just a challenge. We've never run a building that's so big that we could try to sell tons of tickets and maybe even go with cheap general admission tickets just to get extra human beings in the door. Because the Eagles Club's so small, we've always had to have ticket prices be, like, super expensive, and, like, the cheapest ticket is $30 general admission. So, like, it's always been a question in the back of our mind, if we have a big enough building in the Chicago area and if we have reasonable general admission prices, what can we draw? Like, could we do 600 people? If we did heavy advertising, could we do 800 people? Like, who knows?
Well, so if you put Nicole Matthews defending the title against Blue Pants, I'm sure you're going to sell it out.
I was wondering, is this interview going to be entirely just putting over Blue Pants the entire interview?
I don't think
there's anything wrong with that, but but yes. Yes, Ed, I've already booked Blue Pants for the October shows, just so you know.
There you go.
In fact, I think that's one of the first things you told me when I did run into you.
Yes. Yes, you're already on the shows.
Yeah. But I'll go ahead, Craig. I'll let you finish your question.
Okay, I got a couple. I got about three more here. It says, thoughts on Stardom running shows in California this October?
I heard that is probably happening, but I haven't heard any specifics. So
okay.
I hope they pick the right weekend, because we're running the 10th and 11th. I know Shine is going to run the week before, so it would be in their best interest to run the week after Shimmer, because then they could then fans could attend all of them.
Right.
But they haven't, like, compared notes with any of us yet. I don't know if the Stardom people even know when the Shine show is going to be, but, you know, it's a small, the women's wrestling audience in the United States that is willing to travel
right. Is
pretty small. I mean, it's a few hundred people. So if they were to, like, run head-to-head with a Shine show in Florida, that could mean drawing half the people that they would draw on a weekend when something else wasn't already going on. So I don't know.
Okay, he also asked, any preliminary plans or thoughts or hopes on the 10-year anniversary of Sincero?
Would that be for the venue in Cicero?
Cicero, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes. It's called the Olympic Theater in Cicero, Illinois. We don't have anything specific planned yet, like, for those that saw that were in attendance at the shows, you kind of see where things are leading storyline-wise for that. But Nicole Matthews is still the Shimmer champion in the midst of feuding with Madison Eagles, who she threw a fireball in the face of to win the title in October. Tag team champions are Kimber Bombs right now. They won them from the from 3G last weekend in Berwyn. You know, I mean, I think that for the 10th anniversary, like, we're going to try to bring back some wrestlers from, like, not necessarily from the first show, but from previous Shimmer eras that are willing to come back. You know, we might do I don't want to say old timers battle royal, but, like, something similar where, like, do like a rumble kind of thing. Like, you know, like the dark match at the Tokyo Dome. where you don't know necessarily who's booked until their music hits and they come to the ring. I'd like to do something like that and bring back some names from Shimmer years past. And you know, it's a Hispanic neighborhood, so if we could have some girls who are familiar to, like, Lucha Libre fans, it would be helpful to have them on the show. I've already given the dates to Sarah Stock, but she's not sure about her schedule right now, because she keeps very busy in Mexico and Japan. But, you know, if it's available on her schedule, I absolutely want Sarah Stock on the show. Maybe Jennifer Blake, she's been on AAA a lot. You know, there's a lot of different options to draw some additional neighborhood fans that might be familiar with them from Lucha. You know, I emailed Conan to ask about Fabby Apache, but he's not sure if she could do it or not. But if that can come together, awesome. Who knows if it will, but we're trying, you know. And depending on how many tickets we could sell over the next 5 months, that will determine how much money we have to play with in terms of booking some surprises or a few names here and there. Like, we're going to sell the tickets row by row. Like, right now we're in second row. So, like, as soon as second row's done, we'll put third row tickets on sale. After third row's done, we'll put fourth row tickets, you know, and just see how far we can go before we even think about general admission. And if we could draw a big enough crowd and have enough money to play with, then we'll, you know, we'll do as much as we can.
Yeah, as far as when the tickets went on sale, I didn't even wait for them to go on sale. I just sent you the money that...
Yeah, I noticed that. So I checked my email. Ed Laredo has sent you, you know, money for fucking tickets. All right. They go on sale in 5 hours, but thanks, Ed.
That's awesome. Charlie's last question is, do you prefer paper mache or paper ribbon streamers?
Yeah, there's a large section of fans that attend the shows that actually get the Japanese paper ribbon streamers to throw for at the ring. And then there are
That's
some
awesome.
People that just go to their local party store and buy shitty fucking crepe paper fucking streamers that break apart super easily. And it's just, it looks horrible. It's harder to clean up. So I think everyone that is complaining about it is justified in saying we should never allow crepe paper in the building, because, like, it's like throwing toilet paper at the ring. It's fucking disrespectful.
That's
so
awesome.
Leave it to the experts, the Joshi fans that actually import the streamers from Japan and do it properly.
If
you want to join them, there's ways. You know, it's very easy to contact, you know, the guys involved in organizing the streamer throwing to get your own set of streamers to throw them. Don't bring friggin' paper mache fucking.
Well, they should hang out by the front door with just like a whole bunch of them and just ask people to trade or something. Maybe that'll
I think that they may have done that for, like, at least with the green and yellow streamers for Nakagawa this time. I'm not sure, but I think that they did that.
I'll let you know a secret. When I was at ROH at Mania Weekend, ROH was actually throwing streamers to the crowd.
There you go.
God is my witness. Yeah.
Hey, whatever. If it's a good visual in the end, that's all that really matters, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it seems like there was, like, a lot of the news regarding the show, besides, like, Nakagawa's retirement and Asia Kong, was, like, just people upset about the streamers.
You know, it's so ridiculous. I mean, I didn't like it either, but it to me, it's super ridiculous. Like, these are probably the best shows we've ever done in terms of in-ring, like, match quality-wise. Like, we were trying to evaluate, the day after the shows ended, we were like, okay, what was really bad on these shows? Like, what was a bad match or people that did not work? And we couldn't figure out anything that was necessarily bad. Like, some things weren't that great. But, like, overall, like, over the years, our undercard used to be fucking horrible, and it was only the top few matches that really delivered. And these days, everything's like a lot of these young girls are, like, clicking on the undercard, and they're having good matches. So it's like, if you really were in attendance at these shows and you saw all these awesome matches, it's really stretching to find something to complain about, but I guess that's what social media and message boards and such are for. People don't necessarily post to say how much they enjoyed things, although they do sometimes. But, like, it's really stretching when you need to find something to complain about, and when the wrestling can't be what you're complaining about, then you have to complain about other fans. You know, just I guess I just roll my eyes at the whole thing.
Now, you have, like you say, you the building seats, like, I think you said 250, and I'm sure you have a lot of returning fans. Like, it's a lot of the same people.
Oh, yeah, like, it's probably 85% of the...
How are they? Do they get along with each other? Do they have their cliques? I mean, what can I expect when I go there? I mean, how weird are these people?
No, the vast majority get along with each other. Like, if there's... There might be one or two fans that personally don't like somebody else, but in general, it's... It might sound weird, but it's kind of like a family reunion every 6 months, because outside of these shows, a lot of these fans don't see one another. So it's kind of like it's a family reunion kind of thing for the locker room, too, because, you know, twice a year they get to see some of these wrestlers that they created friendships with on the other side of the world, you know. So it's the same for the fans. Pretty much everybody gets along. A lot of them, you know each other by first name and everything. So it's a great, I mean, as much as you might predict in your mind, it's just a bunch of pervs trying to take pictures, you know.
I'll be the only one.
Not necessarily, though that might be the case in certain instances. The vast majority of them are just huge supporters of the product that enjoy the matches, that appreciate the wrestling, and that like coming to the shows and like making a weekend out of it and hanging out with their friends who also are, you know, fans of the product. So
it's not that
creepy of a thing. For people who've never been to Shimmer before, it's more of just like a bunch of friends getting together watching wrestling, like any other wrestling show that you might go to.
I heard that intermission was a little crazy this year. How do the intermissions usually work for people who have never gone, like myself?
Well, because of the show length, we had to keep the intermissions short this time. So they're usually, I guess these days, they're usually only 15 minutes long. But we try to have them a little bit longer. And we actually cleared it with the after party to be selling merchandise at the after party, so the intermission isn't the only opportunity to buy stuff. But not many of the wrestlers decided they wanted to set up their merch. They could have, but they would rather just eat and hang out, and so whatever. But it's usually just like between each DVD we do a 15-minute intermission. And, you know, a lot of the wrestlers set up their stuff on tables. Some of them set up around the ring and then just, you know, sell their merch over the barricade. You know, whatever works. They all bring their own 8x10s and their own T-shirts and whatever other merch, best of DVDs, et cetera. So it's pretty easy.
Cool. And you had mentioned, like, when you're talking about Stardom, you mentioned that, you know, they're going to do probably 1 week. You'll do 1 week, and then Shine will do the other week.
If they're smart, they won't run head-to-head with anybody.
Well, how much contact or how much do you have to keep in touch with Sal? I mean, it's probably just a couple times a year, but when that the two times come, I mean, how much do you have to work with Sal and have everything figured on what days you're doing, what they're doing, and stuff like that?
Well, Sal still handles all of our DVD stuff, too. So, like, World Wrestling Network is the producer of our DVDs, so I'm talking to Sal, like, multi times a week, usually. So we get on the same page. And, like my team of agents, I guess you would say, like, booking committee, includes Lexi Fife. So if I'm not talking to Sal, I'm talking to Lexi. So they wouldn't, like, we already know what each other's dates are going forward so that we can plan ahead. And, you know, Lexi does her Slammin' Ladies website, the custom matches and everything. So, like, we schedule a period of 2 or 3 weeks where the international wrestlers can come in and, like, in that one trip do Shine, do Shimmer, do Customs. And some of them also would do, like, either the AIW Girls Night Out in Cleveland or go to Montreal for Femme Fatale or something like that. So it's pretty easy to figure out, like, to make sure that we're not running on the same weekend. I mean, the worst-case scenario is there might be a Shine on a Friday and then Femme Fatale decides to run on that Saturday. So some of them might have to rush to get on a flight early Saturday morning. But, like, we've never encountered an issue where we both want to run the same weekend or whatever.
Now, speaking of Lexi and her cousins, did you see the picture of the Pokemon Battle Royal?
Yes, they get kind of wacky, and they save some of that stuff to post on, like, Halloween, so it doesn't seem so freaking weird. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to buy that custom when it comes out. That photo blew me away.
Ed, have you purchased any customs of your own where you've written down what moves the girls should be doing?
I have not done that, but I did.
Come on, be honest.
I will come clean.
We won't judge. I just want to know.
I did order a custom. It was a Soul Darling versus one of the Texas girls, Claudia de Solis.
Okay.
And if I told them, well, basically,
how many stomach claws, and were they barefoot?
No, they were not barefoot. I didn't think of that. I should have. I had Solo wear her Khaleesi's costume, because basically if Solo won,
I was supposed to get a date with Claudia, but I haven't heard from her since. So, but but since Solo was defending my honor, I had to have her dressed like Khaleesi from Game of Thrones. But that is the only one, and it was because there was a date on the line, even though one of them disappeared after she lost.
Okay.
So that's the only one until the Pokemon Battle Royale comes out.
I've spent so much money on customs, I just call it Shimmer.
Did you have any more questions, Craig?
I am all wrapped up, and I'm good, brother.
You don't have any men's wrestling questions you'd like to ask?
I don't know how helpful I would be in terms of discussion of random general wrestling, because I watch very little on TV, but
yeah, the man
I'll
has
try.
Not even seen WrestleMania yet. Crying out
yeah.
Well, I was kind of hoping you'd get to Kent and ask him about what he thinks of CM Punk's chances of his in UFC.
Well, I respect Dave, and he's good friends with CM Punk, and I wouldn't put that on him.
Okay,
but,
Dave, what do you think CM Punk's chances in UFC?
I mean, have they announced that? I haven't paying close attention to that either. Have they announced, like, when he's fighting or who his opponent's going to be?
No, not yet.
No,
I'm
he's
sure
just training,
so.
Right? He's
Wait,
just
yeah.
preparing, okay. Like, I would think, you know, UFC is, I mean, to an extent, it's just as worked as wrestling, at least in terms of putting, you know, the matches together. You'd think, for good business, his first opponent would be somebody that he could beat, right?
You know who was
so you get more than one pay-per-view buy rate out of Punk being there.
You know who would be a perfect
yeah.
opponent for him? The Peach Machine, because they're in the same weight
yes.
class, and Peach has amateur fights.
Let's book the Peach Machine to come out to Kurt Angle's theme music.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that would
nice.
Be awesome.
Man, I think he'll do fine. Like it, I would think at least at first. They would be foolish not to have him fight somebody that at least there's a chance he's going to beat. And if he does, then tremendous. They get two buy rates out. I mean, who knows? Like, he's always been, you know, a student of the game, even though he hasn't been a fighter the entire time. Like, you know, you never know. And he can completely focus on doing this and training. So who says that he's not going to be fully prepared, you know?
Yeah, and I can also see him, you know, fighting once or twice and then going to the commentary or doing like those
right.
MMA shows, you know. I think he'd be actually awesome at that. He's such a great talker. But he's always kind of had a reputation of being kind of a tough guy. There's the legendary fight between him and Teddy Hart, which depending on who you ask, you'll hear a different story on who won. And then I know he beat up Jimmy Jacobs in a bathroom one time. And gave
I remember that. And he didn't beat him up. He just kind of dunked his head in the toilet after Jimmy Jacobs asked, "Who's Ricky Morton?"
Okay.
This was in year 2000.
It.
Jimmy Jacobs was like 15 years old, and he did not know who Ricky Morton was. So he got a swirly for his trouble. Thinking that it would teach him a lesson, but a week later, he went online and changed and redirected the Jimmy Jacobs Angel Fire website so that it would be accessible if you type in www.whosrickymorton.com. That got him even more heat with everybody. Yes.
That's
a great story, though.
No, did I hear, like, recently that Mid-South is actually still running shows?
Yeah, they're still running Southern Indiana. Yeah, I think usually midweek shows, like on a Thursday or something like that.
When was the last time that you worked with Ian?
The day that I quit in 2005 was the last time. I mean,
What made you quit at the time?
It was just kind of a... There were instances, and it's always been the case with those shows, where just, like, he wouldn't advertise. He'd be running these middle-of-nowhere towns in Indiana and, like, legitimately drawing between 20 and 50 people. And, like, we were doing these trips every weekend driving from Chicago, so it's, like, it's a good, depending on the location of the city, it's between 250 and 350 miles each way. And, you know, we'll load a car with wrestlers and everything, but if we get there and there's 20 people there, it's like, what the fuck? So there are certain instances where, obviously, Ian Ron's not a millionaire. And he, if he didn't have a money mark at the time, he, you know, wouldn't have any money to pay anybody. So, like, there were certain cases. There was one weekend where he ran a quadruple shot. It was like a Ted Petty Invitational weekend. He ran a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday weekend. And he brought, because it was Ted Petty Invitational, he booked all the guys that he had for the TPI tournament in all these shitty little towns on Thursday and Friday. And the Thursday show drew 19 people with Samoa Joe, Petey Williams, Chris Candido, Abyss, Punk, Super Dragon, list goes on and on. All those fucking names got paid, but all of the regulars that do those, that would do those drives every single week, at the end of the four-day stretch, some of them got like $10. And that was the first time I tried to quit, and he talked me out of it. I was just like, these guys that fucking do these road trips for you every weekend got screwed, but Super Dragon got all of his money. I mean, good for Super Dragon that, you know, he had a buzz at the time, and he got flown, and he got his pay, but, like, don't screw your – I mean, the guys that are the foundation of your company, you know, once a year you're bringing in a ton of names for TPI. So it's just like, I tried to quit, and he's just like, I guarantee you'll have your money every single time from this point forward, no matter what, no matter what the crowd size is. And so when one day came and I didn't have my money, and some shit went down the day before, you know, it was a double shot weekend, some shit went down the day before, and then the money wasn't there the next day, and I said, see ya. And then at that point, I started working with Danny Daniels at AAW and took my plans for the IWA Women's Division and created Shimmer. So.
Now, speaking of the Mid-South, one of their mainstays was always Mickey Knuckles. And yeah. I don't know if she ever wrestled for Shimmer, but when everything I had seen from her from Mid-South was always the hardcore stuff, which I'm not a fan of, even with the guys.
Yeah.
But the last two matches I saw of her were from the WSU shows, which were,
right.
She pretty much did all comedy and was this incredible worker, and it just, like, blew my mind.
Was that, was one of them when she worked Soraya, or no?
No, she worked Solo was the last one, and then the one before was just a girl that I had never heard of, and she came out with, like, Bull Nakano hair, and she was much larger than I had ever seen her before. She
yeah.
was huge, but it was weird because I had never seen her do anything but hardcore, and all of a sudden she was awesome.
She can work. Like, that was, well, with the Mickey thing, she was Ian's student and, you know, right-hand woman. Like, she was, what Chris Hero was for a long time in terms of just, like, being Ian's right-hand man, like, helping, you know, run the school and, you know, postering and flyering and doing all the miscellaneous stuff that is necessary, ring crew, et cetera. Like, Mickey was, you know, she was one of the people that every weekend she traveled everywhere. She did ring crew. She wrestled on the show. She helped tear down. She helped pack up merch. You know, like, she did so much work. She was, you know, vital to IWA's existence. So I quit after the whole, you know, that deal went down, and we started Shimmer, and that was late 2005. And I think, like, maybe our fifth show, something like that, the following year in 2006, I offered, I contacted both Mickey and Ian at the same time, wanting to book her and have her do a run-in, like unadvertised doing a run-in, just because the people in the area already know that, like, the history of, you know, I used to work for IWA. It'd be a cool little angle to have her come in through the front door, hop the barricade, and, you know, do something. And I even said it would even be in an IWA Mid-South t-shirt just to fucking put their stuff over. And I pitched this idea, and it was to have her work Amazing Kong. And because, again, stupid indie politics, but because Amazing Kong would eventually go over on Mickey Knuckles in the feud, no, she's the IWA Women's Champion. That can't happen. I'm like, all right, then I guess we don't have anything for her. Like, I'll book somebody, but I'm not going to have parameters where, like, they can't lose. Like, is she fucking Goldberg? Like, come on. And it's Amazing Kong, too. Like, it's Kong. You're not going to put over Kong? Come on. So,
yeah.
You know, we tried to put it together. I thought it was a good idea. Mickey was all for it. Ian shit-canned it. And they were just like, all right, forget it. But like, Mickey, I mean, even though, like, most of her reputation was doing the hardcore stuff, there are times, like, there's a lot of examples over the years of times that she's just straight out went out and wrestled. Like,
You know, some of those matches that she's had with Sarah Del Rey were really good. I mean, I don't want to bring up the one where she snapped her leg in half, but, you know, that was an accident. But it was just a regular wrestling match that they had. You know, she's a good worker. And if I'm not mistaken, I think she may have announced her retirement, because I believe that she is pregnant once again. So I think if she hasn't announced a full retirement, at least she's retired for the next 9 months.
Yes, I think she did announce her retirement. And
yeah.
Speaking of another wrestling legend, women's legend, LaFisto, I know you're not going to bash anybody here, but she wrote this awesome piece after the whole Kimberly Beyond Wrestling fiasco thing. And what did you think? Did you read that? And what did you think of what she said? I thought that was like one of the – I think like any woman trying to break into wrestling should like read what she wrote, because, you know what I mean? She spoke the truth and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's her opinions, and, you know, she speaks from the viewpoint of someone who's gone through the same thing that, like, you know, it's – I can't fault her for feeling the way that she does. In my mind, it probably would have been better – and maybe this sounds shitty for me to say, but it probably would have been better for everyone to just ignore it rather than write blogs talking about it, bringing more attention to it, because, like – Kimberly was fine with it. She didn't get really screwed up in the process of doing this angle with, who is it, Chris Dickinson?
Yeah.
At the Beyond show. Like, nobody got legitimately hurt. Nobody ended up in the hospital or in a wheelchair. Some people flipped out because the thing went viral. It got some good publicity for Beyond Wrestling. Any publicity is good publicity, I guess. So, like, whether people were agreed with that was a cool angle that's going to get attention on her and she's tough for taking that crazy move, or if it's people that are going to be pissed off that it even happened, to comment on it, if people agree with you writing a blog, that's great, but let's say 50% of the people disagree with you, and then suddenly you have a bunch of people that don't like you because of your viewpoint that you put in your blog. In that respect, it's better for everybody to just keep their opinions to themselves rather than potentially lose fans in the process of speaking your mind. But, I mean, but it's up to her and it's up to anybody else. If they want to speak their mind, go ahead, you know.
Cool.
I didn't see anything wrong with it. Like, I saw the clip of the thing, and, you know, I mean, I obviously wouldn't have done that because I don't have guys on the show, but, like, I don't see anything wrong with it as long as she was comfortable doing it and nobody legitimately got hurt. You know, pro wrestling is – I heard Drew Cordero explain this on a podcast recently too after it happened. He was like, isn't the goal of wrestling to cause the viewers to wonder if what they just watched was real or not, or if somebody got really fucked up or not? And if they're convinced that what they just saw was someone legitimately getting hurt but they didn't, isn't that what wrestlers are supposed to do, paint this picture that's believable? So if anything, they should be fucking proud of what they did because they caused everybody to think that she died in the midst of this fucking power bomb in the corner. So,
yeah, they did a good job of that because it certainly looked like she was killed. But as far as like hardcore and Shimmer, I know there's some hardcore and Shimmer. You know, there was a fireball in the one match last year. That there's a photo that's like one of the best photos ever because it looks like Madison's face is literally on fire. Have you ever had to tell anybody, no, you can't do that, that's just too much, or do they, you know, it's just nothing's ever come up like that?
Not really. Like, I mean, we there was a Christina Von Erie, Saraya Knight, like the end of their feud was a big weapons thing, and Christina wanted to use a staple gun. And I'm used to that. Like, maybe I'm desensitized to the whole concept of staple guns in wrestling because I watched Ian and Madman Pondo and Corporal Robinson staple shit to each other's foreheads for fucking 10 years. But I didn't immediately have an objection to it because I'm like, if that's what you guys want to do. And I knew that, like, Christina on some of the CZW shows had done, you know, these crazy spots and bled all the time. So I'm like, if the two of you are okay with doing this, it's the end of the feud. We've built to it. Fine. So they did it. And I know there were a lot of fans that were like, I can't believe that the first time I saw someone get stapled in the head was on a Shimmer show. And then I was like, when you really think about it that way, I'm like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't have fucking allowed that to happen. But we did. So be it. Like, there's been some, you know, Allison Danger and Cindy Rogers There was blood. They did a dog collar match. It was all bloody. And there was, a, you know, Portia Perez and Danger had a feud that ended in, you know, she got bloody. And Rachel Summerlin, who used to do the hardcore stuff in Texas all the time, she and Daphne, their blow-off had blood, too. So, like, when the storyline warrants it, if they want to do it, I haven't said no. But probably not, unless it's absolutely necessary.
No. If they want to play, do they have to ask?
Yeah.
Or like if someone just did it out of the blue, like you weren't expecting.
Then I'd be like, what the fuck, man? And then they wouldn't be on the next five shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody
be absolutely necessary? And like, honestly, in this day and age, with everything that's going on with like Abdullah the Butcher and that fucking Hannibal dude. You know, nobody should be bleeding anyway. So if we can, we had a cage match in New Jersey where neither Melissa nor Soraya bled. So it's not necessary even with a cage match. So. But there was something else. The fireball thing. In your opinion, because we haven't released the DVD yet, but we're preparing it right now. Would it be? And this is just, I just want your opinions, both of you, as wrestling fans. Would it be a horrible idea to put that photo as the cover of the DVD when it's the finish of the main event?
Because
everyone has heard results. I mean, the show happened. The show will have happened like 8 months prior to when the DVD is finally released. So everyone knows. And it's an awesome picture. It's like, it looks like Nicole Matthews is a handful of fire right before she's about to throw it right in her face. A great photo. And it would make a great cover, but that... But it's the finish of the main event. So should we?
You know what?
Well,
it's 2015.
What would you guys do if it was your promotion?
Go ahead, go first.
It's 2015, and the internet is what the internet is. And you know what? Just use it.
But there are certain people that, like, if they try to avoid spoilers, I mean, it might only be three or four people out there, but, like, some of them may just try to avoid the internet and just, like, order the DVDs when they come out and they want to be surprised.
Well, like me, myself, I'm the type of person where if I see a movie preview that puts the damn ending in the preview, it pisses me off.
There you go.
Most movies do that for the most part. Most of them do that. Yeah. But this photo is so fucking awesome that I would definitely put it on the cover. In fact, when people, if they go to Blog Talk and listen to the show on the Blog Talk player, that photo is going to appear on the Blog Talk player along with a few other ones that I posted. I mean, because it's incredible. It looks like her face is engulfed in flame, and it's one of the most incredible photos I've ever seen. And I'm not really into, like, the hardcore kind of stuff, but
We're probably talking about two different photos, too. The one that Ichiban Drunk took is probably the one where it looks like she doesn't even have a head and it's just fire, right?
That's the one you're probably talking about. Yeah, that's probably the one I saw.
There's another one that was, like, taken from the opposite side of the ring by a different photographer, like, right before Matthews throws it, but, like, as the flash paper is, like, creating a huge fireball, like, in her hand. Where it's like she's really holding on to a fireball right about to throw it, and like the fire coming from the palm of her hand is illuminating both of them.
You should have one side on the front cover and the other one on the back cover.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm probably going to be polling everybody else on the roster for the next couple of weeks as we try to decide what the cover is going to look like. But decisions to make.
Now, you have mentioned how Ian had put the kibosh on that. I guess that's kind of, that in some ways kind of helps you not get angry when you see your Chick-fil-A tournament winner lose to someone else the week before her title match.
Yeah, whatever. At least it wasn't a champion, right? At least it was just somebody who won a tournament. I mean, there are instances you're not going to be able to get around that. Like, I pissed off Darren Childs in fucking Texas when Mischief was the Shimmer champion, and we said that, you know, when she was in one of their American Joshi tournaments, that it had to be a count-out or something like that. You know, and so I guess because I asked that in the past of other promotions, I can't complain about it. But, like, I've gotten more lenient about that. I didn't give a fuck when Madison Eagles put over Manami Toyota in Chikara, even though she was the champion, because she's working Manami Toyota. So it doesn't really matter. When all is said and done, it doesn't fucking matter. It's independent wrestling. It's 2015. Everybody knows it's the work. Who cares?
So
as long as you deliver a good show that for that audience feels that they got a good show, that's all that really matters.
It seems like you've evolved over the years from that guy who got angry and fired Peach or doing Kurt Angle.
Now I don't give a fuck. Now I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want.
Well, we've actually gone. I wasn't paying attention, and I realize we've gone a little longer than we probably should have. But Craig, do you have anything you'd like to ask or say to Dave before we let him go?
How about I use my last question as Dave? What do you got coming up in the near future?
Jack shit, man. No, I'm still working for AAW, which runs some monthly shows at the Eagles Club, and they're also going to do their big show in November at the same 1,400 seat building in Cicero that we're running.
Cool.
Their biggest show of the year is called the Windy City Classic. That'll be a month after our show. So I'm still working for them every month, doing commentary here and there, putting my opinions backstage where they're probably not very welcome, but I still get drunk and do it anyway. other than that, just we're going to try our best to rush and get these DVDs out fast, because I know that, especially in Japan, they don't want to buy DVDs of a show that happened a year ago, and they want Nakagawa's retirement show, and that is the last DVD out of the ones that we still haven't finished and released yet. So even more motivation to speed things up and get them out fast. So that's what we're going to be working on for the next couple months, to get that stuff out. And then October 10th and 11th is our anniversary weekend. And other than that, I'm over the whole trying to get indie bookings as a announcer or manager or whatever and be on the road every weekend. That ship sailed in like 2003. Fuck doing that anymore.
Okay, and for my last question, well, just a suggestion. I already suggested what I would like to see as far as a championship meeting.
Here we go.
If that can't happen, I'd like to see Shimmer tag team titles, the Kimber Bombs versus the Ninja Sisters. That would be awesome.
Leva can't be in 25 different matches on the same. She can't be in every match, all right, on the show. That's not possible. And plus, maybe she'll get signed. Like, she's there, like, every week, right, at NXT.
Yeah.
Whether
like
she's booked or not, she's there. So, like, one of these days, they're going to put a piece of paper in front of her, and she's going to sign it.
Yeah, that would be the only way I'd be happy if she wasn't on the October show. Why do you think they haven't signed her? I mean,
why not do it? Like, and the whole point of developmental is you take somebody who there might be something there that we could create into even more and create a star out of this. And, like, so you just need, like, whether it's interview ability or wrestling ability, some charisma, or just the fact that the fans have accepted someone. If they're not under contract, there's a reason to do it, just put them under a contract. Like, how much money is that really going to cost them in the long run? Not much.
Yeah, they don't think she can make the main roster, I mean,
still,
look at
she's
how much,
NXT. Like, she could be a character on NXT, you know?
Yeah, well, like, she can work house shows with Carmella and Dana, and, like, they can, by working with her, they can see how someone reacts to the crowd and can get accepted by the crowd, because that's the problem that these new girls are having, is because they have their character all set, but they don't know how to connect yet, you know?
Yep. It's only beneficial. That's what developmental should be. Take anybody with promise and sign them just to see what happens. And if it works out, it works out. If not, that's why the whole point is sign them and see if you can help them develop. So... time to start developing people.
Are you still in contact with Sarah? How often do you talk to her?
Barely, but I mean here and there. Like if I'm in Florida for like a production trip or whatever, we'll get together and grab dinner or whatever. But
and real quick before we let you go, how's Alice in Danger's health doing? Because I remember the last time you were on the show, you were talking about some of the issues she was having.
She's fine. These days, she's perfectly fine. She wasn't at the shows this past weekend, but that was travel reasons. There was tornadoes in the Chicago area on Thursday and Friday, which canceled hundreds of flights and caused her to have hers canceled and then Like there was no way that she could even make it for only the second day or whatever. So that's why she wasn't there. Otherwise, she would have been there with everybody for Nakagawa's retirement. But she'll be back for October.
Speaking of which, how because of all these kind of, like, I know Evie got stuck in St. Louis for like an extra night. How long did you have to be at the airport?
Madison and Skater and all them, got stuck in St. Louis. But at least they were all traveling on the Thursday. So, like, if they would have had flights on the day of the show and that shit happened, then we would have been fucked.
Yeah, how long were you at the airport waiting to pick everybody up?
I mean, it wasn't a situation of sitting at the airport. It was more like them texting me and saying, "Hey, my flight's delayed 3 hours. Here's my new, you know, arrival time. Hey, I'm stuck in St. Louis until tomorrow afternoon. Here's my new arrival time." So, like, at least with technology where it is right now, we can get texts from people and know not to go to the airport for a while. But it was pretty chaotic. But everybody, other than Alice in Danger, everybody made it in for the shows that was supposed to.
That's great. Well, Solon, thank you for taking so much time out of your Friday night. I'm sure you have better things to do, but we do appreciate you coming on the show.
No, no problem.
And I guess we'll try and get you on.
Yes, I will do my best.
And I guess we'll try and get you on before or after the next set of tapings. So.
Sounds like a plan, man.
Cool, man. Well, you have a good night, and we'll talk to you later, bro.
All right, you too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. We got 2 minutes of live air first, so let me throw out the plugs real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can all download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Cotrera and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can follow me on Twitter. It's my last name, Proper, and the word Jam. So Proper Jam on Twitter. And Katrina is long gone, I'm sure.
He's actually been on.
Really? I'm shocked.
I had a bunch of questions, but Ed never threw it to me, so I think he's that.
What are you going to do?
Everybody go to youtube.com/Katrina. I'm putting up some new episodes of Memphis Wrestling from 1989. So.
Cool.
I enjoyed those world class ones you had up there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, those were good.
That Star Wars show was awesome.
Which one?
The Star Wars.
That's actually a good segue because, you know, it was one of the shows I'm talking about is the Dallas Star Wars show.
Ah, see what you did there.
You know, we can't talk about Star Wars, though. We can't talk about Star Wars because then Daza's going to have a fit because Daza has this weird plan to not watch trailers, not see commercials, not hear spoilers until he goes to the movie. So I hope you guys didn't ruin it for him while I was calling Dave.
What kind of dumb shit don't want to see a trailer?
Yeah. Well, that's what he planned to do.
But
I got to see Han Solo and Chewie were on this trailer, so it was pretty cool.
I'm going to have to tell Dad that don't listen past the flood.
The Millennium Falcon flew through the air. There you fucking say.
That's right.
Don't you think they should have added a little gray to Chewie? I mean, he's been around since the fucking first three movies.
He's 900 years old. He lived for centuries.
But,
like a year later, like, could you really make the Yoda look that much older? He's like 1,000 years old, you know?
You know, the trailer, as awesome as it was, it really didn't give anything away. But when it was over, I just had the biggest smile.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
And no, not only is this one coming out this year, but another one's coming out next year. You know that?
Oh, they're putting them out that quick? That's good.
No, they're doing like a standalone Star Wars film next year that's kind of like breaking off from this one. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't even know about that one.
Yep. They're doing three movies, so they're doing, they've done six, so they're going to do three more in that storyline, and they're taking single characters from the franchise and doing movies based around them, one of which is Boba Fett.
Yeah, the movie next year is called Star Wars Rogue One, I believe. So.
There you go.
Okay. You know who I'd like to see a movie based on if they're going to do stuff like that? what do you call the assistant, the trainees, the Padawans?
Padawans?
Okay,
Padawans?
Yeah, I like to see it with the Padawans in the cartoon.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? The girl with the one where she's like Darth Vader's Padawan before he became Darth Vader.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Just to like kind of explain what happened to her. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But they also put out the Batman versus Superman trailer, and I got to say, Star Wars is kicking Batman and Superman's ass so far.
I think that looks pretty damn cool, though. It's got a bunch of good stuff coming out this year. A bunch of big stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Avengers comes out, what, next week or week after next or something?
2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from
today. And then Ant-Man's coming out pretty soon, too.
You can see the new Jurassic Park movie's coming out this summer, too.
That looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's weird because from what the previews look like, it looks like the Velociraptors are actually baby faces.
Yeah.
Right. Hopefully they get a lot of heat on the T-Rex.
Cool. Well, we're already past the live air first, so unless you guys got anything else you want to talk about, we can go ahead and end. Craig, any final words?
I'm very excited to eat dinner.
Okay. I'm sure your wife's looking at you all pissed off, like, come here and eat, goddammit.
Yes.
Couture?
Rest in peace, Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Oh, that's right, he died. That's kind of sad. I love Roscoe P. Coltrane. And my final words will be, go Blue Pants. And here's the thing.
Be the man! You gotta beat the man! You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the merchant shit! Let's go hook him up!
Tonight.